talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange, read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on, turn on, I'm in, it's on today, the Exchange Club.
And away we go. It's a Getaway Friday, Friday, February the 9th, 2024, 18 minutes past the hour, joined in studio here by Pastor Craig and Matt Morgan. Again, Study His Word with Pastor Craig coming up next hour, 1:15 until 2 p.m. What's the story today?
We're going to talk about Jonah and the whale.
There you go. And tonight, 8:15 until 10 p.m., we have Friday Night Live with Matt and Carrington. I'm sure there'll be a lot of talk about the Super Bowl and Valentine's Day.
Good. Valentine's Day is a waste of a holiday, but the Super Bowl is always fun.
Well, the Swift Bowl. The Swifty Bowl is what we call that. Now, let's start with the Taylor Swift story that we started this morning. Now, Matt and I hashed this over quite a bit from 8:15 until 10. But I thought, let's go to somebody who's actually preached, conducted the services at some funerals. As many of you know, legendary, I believe they called him an icon in some places, country singer Toby Keith sadly passed away Tuesday from cancer, stomach cancer, at the age of 62. And Taylor Swift did not express any condolences, and apparently this is the wrong thing to do because his record label was the first one that she signed to be a part of in her career. There you go. Pastor Craig, what do you got?
Well, I think it's crazy. So she didn't express any condolences. I mean, it's not like he helped give her start. It's not like he was instrumental in her getting, a contract with his recording company. They weren't, to my knowledge, really friends. You know, I don't think there's any reason that she should be getting knocked for not expressing condolences.
Now, it's also very interesting, come to figure out, find out that in a 2020 documentary, that she had said that her political activism was spurred by the moment, she didn't mention his name, but in 2003 when he photoshopped the Dixie Chicks lead singer Natalie Maines' picture into a Saddam Hussein picture, that was the moment where she became more active in her own mind politically. Now, this is before his cancer or before his death. So why would you express your condolences at a person who clearly you did not agree with, some of the things they did?
Yeah, exactly. Because if she'd have gone ahead and expressed some condolences, everybody who knew that she wasn't maybe happy about what he'd done, then she's seen as being fake and phony, and you know.
But is it hard to understand, because this became an issue earlier today, is it hard to understand that before her career started, she wouldn't mention that? I mean, I don't find that hard to believe. I don't think in the beginning of your career it's the best time to be making political stances, but I think seeds can be planted.
There can be a lot of things that cause you to do something, or cause you to become more politically involved, or cause you to have stronger political opinions. That doesn't mean that you necessarily have to come right out and say what that event was, you know.
Or at that time, even about it.
Right.
I mean, how old was she in 2003? She
five?
Was she even 20? No, I don't think she was. Yeah. So why would she at that point? I think there are things you speak out about in your 30s that you probably don't in your teens.
No. I don't see it's a problem that she, quote, waited 15 years to say something about it.
Yeah, I that's peculiar to me. What do you think, Matt?
I mean, I think that she was probably just too small of an artist, and she, I mean, If you don't have any real standing or reputation or anything like that, and you start making political statements that people might disagree with, you almost might end your own career right then and there.
Well, and I don't even think she was going out of her way to say what started her political activism. I think she was asked for the documentary. What got you started? And she gave the answer.
So if that's what... that's when she brought it up. If she hadn't been asked that question, we might not even know till today.
I find it more fascinating that think of the actions that you take and the repercussions that can happen throughout the years.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Toby Keith thought that would be a repercussion, but it certainly has for the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I got a question.
Go right ahead.
How's come nobody, like, I didn't really see where very many people, unless there was something going on that I didn't, like, realize at the time, came down on Toby Keith for doing that to that chick. What was her name, Scott?
Natalie Means.
Yeah, like, matter of fact, the people, I don't know, I'm not talking, I'm talking to people that have, like, a different opinion, but most people that I talk to, they... always portrayed like Toby Keith as like he was super patriotic, Mr. America, this and that. But that's really not cool what he did to that girl.
No, but you know, at the time it was, because this is pre-Iraq War. I think it was the year of the Iraq War. The Dixie Chicks had been overseas doing a concert, and what they said was, this just shows you how little something can turn into something big, they said, we're ashamed the president's from Texas, because he was talking about going into Iraq, talking about George W. Bush. And a lot of people piled on them, and Toby Keith got on the pile, and not only decided to be on the pile, did this Photoshop. Now, at that time, it was popular, because a lot of people wanted to go to war in Iraq. It was soon after 9/11, and it destroyed the Dixie Chicks' career for probably a good 3-4 years.
Well, and some people would say that they never even really came back all the way,
Right,
like they used to.
So, yeah, it was at the time, he would have been seen as super patriotic, and boy, isn't that a great thing. But now we look at it, that's why history is very important. You look at it now and you go...
because everybody has, like, everybody in America has a right to free speech.
Oh, it's not illegal for him to do it, but I think there is a question
No, I meant for them to have their opinion.
Right, but I think there is a question of why would you do that? I think him saying, I don't like what they said, or I don't like what they're doing is one thing. To misrepresent them in that way, you can do it, but I think he's looked poorly on it at this point, and I certainly think it now has taken the biggest star in country music history and given her a platform. Isn't that ironic?
I mean, I think it is in poor taste to criticize a sitting president, too, but, like, openly like that. Like, that's not something I would have done, but, like, he just did way too much on that.
Well, I think most people would feel criticizing them and saying I don't agree with what they said would have been okay, but people, they had to have security at the time. Concerts stopped. People were burning their CDs in the parking lots. It was weird.
Wow, that's nuts. All right, peace out.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Pastor, should he have gone that far?
I don't know. I mean, probably shouldn't have, but at the time...
But the irony again is you now have taken your moment there,
right?
Spurred somebody who became, and I'm being judicious when I say 10 times bigger than you. Mm-hmm. She's probably far bigger than that than he ever became. You spurred her political activism as a child.
See, that event. And that's the thing, you never know the long-term consequences of an action that you take. And you can take actions based on what's happening at that time, but it's going to have effects, and you may not even know who it's going to affect or how it's going to affect them, but there are consequences of actions that you take. And the other important thing too, and you mentioned it earlier, is that history is very important, because if you look at just that one thing about Toby Keith, and you don't have the historical, context, you could come up with all kinds of criticisms of him. But you have to at least look at it in its context of history to understand why he did what he did.
Well, and timing is also everything. If this was January or February of 2003, that would seem like an okay thing to do.
Right.
But it's not okay in 2024.
Right.
So you do have to be cognizant of the things you do, political stances that you do take, and that's what that was. How are they going to be looked at in 20 years? You know, and I think that's what Chris Christie is, and we'll balance it out here with the Joe Biden story, but I think that's what Chris Christie is saying right now with his new book, is saying, listen, these people, I have been with them, these senators and Congress people. Behind closed doors, they're saying they hate Donald Trump. They can't stand him. He's got no morals, and history is going to look very poorly on him. But right now, if we want to be senators or representatives, we have to support him. That's what he's saying. He's saying in 2024 it looks good, but in 2044 might look bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And will it? We'll find out.
We'll find out.
So what do you think, Matt?
You know, I mean, as far as the whole looking on the Chris Christie thing and the Donald Trump, I mean, it wouldn't necessarily surprise me. I mean, Chris Christie built his entire, tried to build his entire presidential run this year on the fact that he was running against Donald Trump for the Republican Party.
Right, but Chris Christie was also somebody who worked for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but so did the majority of the other people. I don't know about the majority, but so did a lot of the other people.
He was a big supporter and ally of Donald Trump in the early on.
So. Until January 6th.
Right.
That's when it all fell apart.
Yeah.
That's also when his attorney general parted ways with him. So, you know, that is what it is, but, you know, how will people look at that in 20 years?
That is when his vice president parted
ways. Vice president parted ways, and a lot of his staff parted ways at that point with him.
I mean, I think, going back to the Toby Keith thing, I think that, obviously now, I think looking back on it, it was in poor taste. I don't think that posting, I can't think of the lady's name.
Dixie Chicks, Natalie Maines.
Yeah, there we go. Natalie Maines.
The head Dixie Chick.
With, Saddam Hussein was good, but, I mean, I couldn't even recall. I mean, I had just been born, so I couldn't tell you
about the things that were going on there. I don't know. But it all leads us to the point of, does Taylor Swift need to say, I'm sorry that Toby Keith died? I'm sure she's not happy that he died.
She doesn't need to say anything about
Toby Keith. There are tons of people who I wouldn't comment on if they died.
Right. I mean, she doesn't. Why does she need to comment on it?
But why? See, this comes back to my original point this morning. Why is this a thing with her all of a sudden? Why are there these silly stories about her that are clearly meant to only take a swipe?
Here's the question. Why is there such national fascination with Taylor Swift?
I don't know if we can ever define national fascination. I think the same could be said with the Beatles, Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson during their runs. But I don't know that there has been this sort of thing with them, where we're taking deliberate shots to try to diminish them with nothing that has to... We're not saying she's a poor singer. We're not saying she's a poor performer. We're not even saying that her personal life... We're not saying she's a druggie. We're not saying any of that.
And you know, along the lines of the other singers that you mentioned that we had national fascination with, but did it ever spill over into the world of politics like this has?
That's it. I believe there is a side that is scared to death of her, and I believe they are taking every chance they can get to take a shot at her, and I'm not sure why that is. I'm not sure if they should be scared of her. I guess we'll find out in November, but I think they look at things like 400% increases in jersey sales for her boyfriend. I think they look at things like girls' viewership in the NFL going up 8% in 1 year. I think they look at her just showing up at a game and being in a box, having an off-season game have next to highest ratings of the Super Bowl of that particular year. I think they look at things like her just on Instagram saying, go register to vote, and we're in double-digit registerings for that period. Maybe you should be scared.
I think the NFL should sell a line of his shirts, you know, his jersey, and on the back where the name goes, it should say Mr. Swift.
Well, you know, and at some point, is he going to get overshadowed and sick of this?
I think he's already gotten overshadowed. The question will be, is he going to be sick of it?
How long will it take?
He may already be, but maybe not. I don't know.
Well, he's also got to worry about turning on her, because if he does, her fans will, as much as they liked him, they will.
Him.
Oh, yes.
And he'll have two albums made about him.
His name will be Mud.
Yep.
I mean, I don't think that the Swifties matter all that much to Travis Kelce, because at the end of the day, Travis Kelce doesn't need a fan base. He himself, he's got the Chiefs fan base. I mean, you can like a player in the NFL, but if you don't like that player and that player plays good, odds are he's still on that team.
Yeah, but much like we talked about here, the Dixie Chicks had their own fan base, but it was people who toppled on to the top of their problem that caused their problem. And her fans are certainly outnumber his fans, I bet 10 to 1, and that's where the topple will come from.
I don't see how they're going to topple him, though. He's, like, once again, what are they going to do? Go on a grind to get into the NFL and become a linebacker that just prevents him from doing anything ever again?
Well, no,
he's the best tight end in the NFL.
If it becomes very...
You don't just cut the best tight end in the NFL because the whole bunch of Swifties got mad.
It becomes very embarrassing when your jersey sales plummet and your ratings to your games plummet and attendance to your games plummet, all because you and your girlfriend are not together anymore, and that becomes a story, and that's revenue for your team and for the NFL, and yes, that might cause you to be traded if all of a sudden you get in a playing slump, which they all could get in.
And all of those things that Scott said, and then you've got the embarrassment of seeing the footage on the nightly news of 250 Swiftie fans out there burning their jerseys.
And not to mention the fact that the song is coming that is a complete embarrassment to you if you like it or not.
That's right.
I don't think they'll matter all that much.
Okay. You wait for that day.
I mean, look, they can do whatever they want, but like if Travis Kelce keeps playing, you know, football, they're not just gonna like cut him. He's the best tight end in football right now.
Yeah.
With maybe the exception of George Kittle.
Okay, the Dixie Chicks were very popular. People thought, well, why would we stop booking them? Why would... They're selling CDs like nobody's business.
You see, but, like, it's not like that with the NFL. You don't book NFL teams. NFL teams run on a schedule. They play every year, and people will watch the NFL teams play.
Not in the numbers that they will when Taylor Swift's there.
Either way, they're going to do it. Like, the team has to play. They're going to play. He doesn't get paid... The team gets paid in revenues. He gets paid... from the team. So that's the team's problem,
yeah,
not his problem.
It becomes his problem, though, if it's all based in him. I'm telling you, the uphill climb is great. The downhill fall is not. If you're a television show that averages 3 million people watching a week, that's okay as long as you average 3 million. And then let's say Julia Roberts joins your cast and all of a sudden 8 million people are watching your television show. Well, that's a story. And my goodness, 8 million people, it's the number one show on television. And as long as she's there, it is. When she leaves, if you're back down to the original three, it's a ratings drop-off. You're a failed show.
Okay, I'll use the same exact analogy in terms of the Chiefs, okay? So the Chiefs, right, the ratings, okay, yep, Taylor Swift, all right, ratings go up for the Chiefs, all right, Taylor Swift drops off, ratings go down. They cut Travis Kelce because Travis Kelce upset Taylor Swift, and now all of a sudden they don't have any weapons. Their weapons revolve around Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce. You take away their best weapon, and all of a sudden you don't have a team there. You don't have an offense.
They don't care, though, because bad press is what you don't want there.
Browns are nothing but bad press.
But they're not.
Every time the Cowboys get into the playoffs, they're nothing but bad press.
The Browns fill the stadium every Sunday.
And they go, and they did that when they went 0-16 like 3 years in a row. So
yeah,
what's your point?
That's what I'm saying. That's why it doesn't matter. Their record
doesn't
matter.
It doesn't matter what the Swifties are going to get upset at the Chiefs. They get 0-16. They're going to fill those seats.
I don't know.
I don't know about that.
The Browns fans support the Browns because they love football. the Browns fans know they're going to go 0-16.
Chiefs fans support the Chiefs because they love football.
But no.
Swifties support the Chiefs because they love Taylor Swift.
I'm telling you.
You take away the Swifties and it's just back to where it was.
I had no idea who Travis Kelce was.
It'll be fine.
I can honestly say that. I had no idea who he was until her. So for somebody like me,
Carrington has said that she knew Travis Kelce before her and Taylor Swift.
Good for her.
If somebody like Carrington knows who he is,
no either.
You guys don't.
I had no idea.
If somebody like Carrington knew who Travis Kelce was, I think there's an argument to be made here.
Can I say something?
Go ahead. It's a tough one today.
I only found out about an hour or two ago that Travis Kelce was a tight end. I didn't even know what position he played.
Or what team he played for.
Well, I knew what team he played for.
Oh, you didn't know the team. Okay.
But I didn't know what position he played until you mentioned earlier about tight end. So I just kind of like, Mark, okay, he's a tight end.
Yeah. And he's basking in this popularity. I mean, he was interviewed for the Wall Street Journal. And what did they interview him for? His relationship.
Yeah. And Wall Street Journal, come on. I mean, like,
yeah.
Seriously?
Exactly. So, I'm sorry, but it's going to be a rough fall for him.
I think he'll be fine.
But here's the one consolation. He'll have all those unsold jerseys to cushion that fall.
That's exactly right. He'll be able to lay on those unsold jerseys.
Once again, I don't know that the jerseys fall back on the players. I think that's more of the team sell the jerseys, and you might get a small cut because of your name, but I don't think. Like, it's not like you own the factory that produces the jerseys and the jerseys belong to you until they're sold.
I saw this thing the other day. Somebody sent it to me on TikTok that apparently her favorite number is 13. And there's a lot of weird things dealing with this Super Bowl and 13. Like, it's Super Bowl what? 58?
58, yeah.
58?
I think so.
So 5 plus 8 is 13.
Exactly.
Okay.
And also there's some other things, like his jersey, if you subtract it, or if you take the date of the Super Bowl, look for this TikTok video. It's very interesting. And
so what's the date of the Super Bowl? 2-11?
2-11-13. Exactly. It's odd. And that she's been on record saying that 13 is her favorite number. But there's some other coincidences like that, too.
I also know that Taylor Swift has been accused of being part of the Illuminati way back in the day. When that was a real big thing, people accused her of being the Illuminati because it was like 13 was an unlucky number. But like all of her albums had like 13.
So you knew her number was 13?
I did, yeah.
Look at this. What? And here we are, Pastor. What's going on?
I don't know.
I kind of forgot, but that was like years ago.
I think they win by 13.
They probably will.
Chiefs will win by 13. That's my prediction right now. I don't know what the score will be, but it'll be 13-something.
And the game won't be over until like 1 o'clock in the morning, which is the 13th hour.
Yeah, it'll be a whole thing. Phone lines are open, by the way, 740-383-9944. But in your own personal life, are there people who you would not give condolences to?
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, I'm sure. I'm sure there are.
I guess I answered that too fast.
Yeah, right away.
Yeah.
I can pick a 10 off the top of my head. But I wouldn't.
Yeah, there are people that I mean, I wouldn't send, and it doesn't even have to be somebody famous. But I would not send condolences if Putin died tomorrow.
No, and I don't know why this is such a thing. But again, I think it's one of those things to ding her, and I'm not really sure why it's there, but. Whatever.
Yeah.
They would have dinged her if she'd have done it, and they'd have said she was being false.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't really have a I think that Taylor Swift probably, like I said earlier, I don't think that Taylor Swift necessarily needed to. I think that if she didn't want to, she doesn't have to. I don't even think that they really liked each other, so I don't know why it would make sense to.
There you go. All right. President Biden was being investigated by a special counsel for classified documents that were left in his home when he was vice president. The investigation concluded. The results were given yesterday, and it was said that they are not going to prosecute because he turned over the documents when they asked for them, and they truly believe that he did not know that he had them or wasn't supposed to take them. But the fallout from it is that apparently he's very forgetful about things, and they said that in the report, and he didn't like this, so he went out and spoke last night very angrily. Said, my memory's as good as it ever was, and he's already being criticized as an old doddering man who shouldn't be president. So you can understand in a presidential year why this would be an angry moment. What do you think, Matt?
You know, I'm surprised it took this long for the whole thing to be done. Cause like I thought I knew there was they just found it like 4 months. Never mind. So but this whole thing started under Obama, right?
Right.
How did it take them this long to find to figure it out though?
When they realized that more people were taking classified documents home than they realized, I think they looked at everybody in recent years.
Not fair enough.
So that's what happened.
Okay.
But he's not being prosecuted. That's the good news. The bad news is they said he was forgetful. And again, being the oldest president ever probably doesn't help that case. Go ahead, Colin.
All right, this is the last time I'm going to comment on this, topic.
Go in. Go deep.
All right. Pastor Craig.
Yes.
Let's say that you were an upstart seminarian or a... You were wanting to get
Wait 1 second here, because I got to throw... This is breaking news. This will also be the 13th time Taylor Swift will be at a game.
Thank you, Mary,
out there listening.
All right. So let's say that there's a really selective seminary, and your chances of getting in there are slim to none. But let's say one of the pastors that works there... administrators, they see you preaching, and they work their magic through the bureaucracy of the seminary, and they get you a seat at that exclusive seminary. And without their help, you would otherwise not have attended that institution. And let's say that you go on and you become the next Billy Graham or something like that. Even if you had disagreements after the fact, you would still be indebted to them, correct?
Correct.
So, when they pass, and again, by this point you are a world-renowned theologian, evangelist, whatever you want to say, and you have a following, and you do regular tweets or what have you out to your flock, wouldn't it be appropriate just to acknowledge their contribution to your life at one point in time? And or just acknowledging their passing. That's it. That's all I'm saying is I think that given the fact that he was instrumental at, you know, as far as discovering her and getting that record label deal, that set her off to where she is. But for that, there is probably a pretty good chance, when you think of how many musicians never make it, because not because of a lack of talent, but because the stars did not align and they did not get discovered or they did not get helped along the way. I'm just saying that I think that it's not improper to acknowledge his passing. That's it.
I guess maybe I haven't asked you this, and I want Pastor Craig to answer. We're gonna get there.
Okay.
But now, why is it so important that she do this?
I mean, I don't care. Does it matter to me? Does it matter to you? Is it going to impact our lives one iota? No, it's not. It's just a topic of discussion.
That's what we do
on this radio station.
And I'm glad we do it. But it is interesting to me because when I look at it from the perspective, because I'm not really arguing the point that she should not do it. I think we're all arguing the point that it's her choice to do it. But from your side, and again, it's just a conversation, none of us are going to live and die by it, it's that you think she should have done this. We're just saying do what you want. You're saying
what you want. Like I said, I don't care.
But your side is saying, your opinion on this is that she should have. Our opinion is not that she should or shouldn't have. It's do what you want.
Yeah, and again, that's fine. But I think that it does go into one's character.
Well, see, there you go. Now, see, that's a little different than what we're saying. We're just saying do what you want. If you do, it doesn't bother me. If it doesn't...
Yeah, it doesn't
But it's not going to affect your character if
she's still going to be a billionaire, and I'm still going to be a working schmuck. So
right, but you said it affected her character if she did not do this.
I think it's reflective of it.
I don't think we feel that way, but I don't want to speak for the guys here. But go ahead, Pastor.
Well, okay, so in the scenario that you laid out, yes, I think it would be... I think I would feel necessary to at least comment on the person that passed away because they were instrumental in something in my life. And that would not matter whether or not I still, you know, had a relationship or I still felt the same way about them. I could feel very different about them. But I would acknowledge their role in my life or my career. All I'm saying is that I was not aware of Toby Keith being instrumental in launching her and her career.
And I don't think personally he was. I think he owned the or helped start the record label that started her.
And that's instrumental. I don't know how you could say that was not instrumental.
I think that's
like,
why...
I own the radio station that hired you and gave you, like, your start, Scott. Well,
but is it the person
who...
My
God, that's not instrumental.
Well, but you know what? The radio station where I got my start was owned by, at that time, Clear Channel, now iHeart. I never met any of those people. But the person who put me on the air, now that's a different person. That's somebody who worked at the radio station. It's my understanding the person who hired her, and his name was mentioned earlier, and I don't have the article in front of me, that was not Toby Keith. He just owned a part of this record label.
Yes, but, well, I don't think we're going to come to that resolution. I think that...
But no, Pastor, is that different? Is that a different situation?
If you hire a talent, you discover a talent, and you're promoting that talent... and you sign them on to your record label where they were otherwise just another one of the many nameless entertainers out there and artists, that is a break. That is your stardom.
But let me give this to you here. Okay, let's say Bill Cosby will die at some point. He's born in 1937, or 1938, I believe. He's in his 80s, well into his 80s.
I think Bill Cosby will live forever. Well, all those puddin' pops that will keep you young and immortal.
He's eaten very well. So when Bill Cosby goes, now the people who he got put on number one, Felicia Rashad, he made her career, no doubt about it. Malcolm Jamal Warner made his career. Now, they did not know at the time what he did or would be accused of or the prison time that he would do because of things later in his life. Now, when he dies, do they have to thank you, Bill Cosby, even though the things... I think they would be chastised, especially Felicia Rashad as a woman, for saying, hey, thank you, man, who allegedly raped 60 women.
Yeah, but
thank you for giving me my career.
Apples to oranges comparison, Scott. I mean, you're talking about somebody that was a convicted, you know, rapist.
But isn't a convicted rapist now?
As opposed to somebody that created a satirical meme that was political in nature.
Well,
and I'm not saying I agree with what he did, but that's what it was.
Right, but if that's the reason you give for starting your political activism, obviously some bad blood runs deep
after
there.
After 15 years. Plus benefiting from him, like.
Well, I don't know that that's a thing, though. Pastor Craig, I mean, would you at whatever she was, 13 at the time, have said anything?
No.
Right.
No.
I mean, wouldn't you wait until
she praised him? So those comments were in 2003. The whole Dixie Chicks, and by the way,
they say don't meet your heroes.
We shouldn't be saying Dixie Chicks.
I think that might be like one of those like don't bite the hand that feeds you kind of thing. Like this guy just signed you. Like I don't know if it was like he said. Like Scott said, I don't know if it was like he even signed her. It might have just been the label signed her that he owned. But if the label signed her, and then she was talking up to Toby Keith, he owns the label. So it wouldn't make sense for her to be signed to Toby Keith's label and then her trash Toby Keith. And then she'd just be fired. Because at that point, she was nameless.
But she maintained an apolitical stance until 2018.
Well, I think a lot of people do that. I think Dolly Parton did that through a good portion of her career. I think that...
I think it's just only recently become a really big thing to play into the politics.
I think if you're asked, maybe nobody cared.
You benefit from it. If you go along with what the mainstream media outlets and the mainstream culture, you know, if you go along with that narrative and you push it, you will be rewarded.
Let me tell you this. I gave an example earlier, but there is somebody, and I'm going to do this without trying to give it away. There was a person who was on this station for a long time with me who obviously at the time I got along with just fine and everything was hunky-dory. And then when that all ended, I'm not saying it ended badly, but I certainly have no connection to this person now, and I don't think of them in any great way. And if they, God forbid, died, I think if I express my condolences, I think that would come off very false, because I don't have warm feelings for that person anymore. And I think it would seem very, as a matter of fact, I think people would think, well, what a phony he is.
But they didn't launch your career.
I don't know that he did that. I just don't know. I can't say that he did from what I've read. And I don't even know if you should. Do we have to be beholden? I think Taylor Swift launched her career. I think there were people who gave her a chance to do that.
And a big one of those people was Toby Keith. And his record.
He owned the record label, yes. Yes, but I don't
sign
so
talent like
without
having that decision-making and that discretion. And then not only that, but, you know, he promoted her once she was signed. You don't sign somebody to a record contract and then say, oh, T.S., like, you're on your own now. No, so, like, you do promotion, you do additional investment in that talent in order to develop it.
Now, again, not to be political here, but when Oprah Winfrey said, I will not go into the Senate race in Pennsylvania and endorse anybody, and we all knew why she wasn't endorsing somebody, because she did not agree with Dr. Oz's views, and he was running, but yet she started him. She agreed more with the other guy's views, so her point was, I'm not going to endorse anybody, because I'm certainly not going to endorse the guy I started. I don't want to seem like a phony, but yet I don't want to help him lose. But when it looked like Dr. Oz was going to win, she came in and endorsed the other guy, and the other guy won by a slim margin. Now, should Dr. Oz have been beholden to her? Should she have been beholden to him?
Well,
did he have to endorse her? Did she have to endorse him?
I mean, you're going from entertainment to politics.
Right, but I think there's probably some
elected office, so that's a little bit different.
But I think there's
maintaining
some
maintaining the lane that you're in entertainment.
But I bet there's some bad blood there now between Dr. Oz and Oprah when they were all buddy buddy prior to that situation.
Well, there probably is, but again, he got into politics, which is a different field than what their relationship was.
Yeah, but then if
Taylor Swift, they were in the entertainment industry, and they are in the entertainment industry.
Well, but I think Oprah and Dr. Oz are in the entertainment industry. So
yeah, but
if Dr.
went from entertainment to right,
but
politics.
Which is why was that man running for office anyway? But if Dr. Oz drops dead, does Oprah have to say, great guy?
Well,
R.I.P. Dr. Oz.
She's not indebted to him.
So if Oprah dies, then does
if
Dr.
Oprah
Oz.
If Oprah died, yes.
Dr. Oz has to say
a nice tribute for helping launch his, like,
Pastor, come on in.
Career.
Come on in.
Well, here's the thing. If Toby Keith was somehow involved in, you know, launching her career, if she had no talent or little talent, then it would have fizzled out. Had he not given her a break, and would she have been successful without that? Probably. And so it's a business transaction.
And I hate to interrupt you, but breaking news here from Bob, one of our listeners out there. Didn't Taylor's early record label steal all her ownership, forcing her to re-record everything again? Thanks, Toby.
I don't know about that. Oh, I'm saying.
Uh-oh.
My God. Why can't you
fly in the coleslaw now?
It's just...
It might run deeper.
Nice about somebody that passed. And I know, Scott, like, I don't know, like, what your belief system is, you know, when we die, is that the end? Is that what you think, or is there eternal existence of the soul?
Well, much like politics, I'm not really going to get into that on a radio program, but I thank
but
you for asking.
Matter.
That was
That's
very
why
excellent.
We, like, do say kind words about the recently deceased and acknowledge their existence and their impact on our lives. So, I mean, when people do, if it's a genuine statement, I think it does matter. And I think that, personally, I believe in the eternal existence of the soul, so I think that they do know when that happens.
But did this hurt her? I mean, did this hurt him? Is that? I guess that's the final result here.
No, I mean, and again, this is just an interesting topic, but it's very trivial in nature. Just like this whole thing.
Wonder what Carrington will think tonight.
Well, she's 100% on board with Taylor Swift, so.
Yeah, but I also think Carrington has a religious background, so I don't know.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It is interesting.
Matt, didn't we learn that from Carrington, that she dated her manager and he stole all the rights to her song and the whole thing?
I don't think she dated her manager, but she did get, like, when she was super young, she got, like, signed a contract that I think, like, gave the manager the rights to the music, so he was making all the money, basically.
And she shouldn't have done this, I guess.
Well, I mean, I feel like anytime you sign a contract, you should probably get somebody who's, you know, smart enough to look at a contract before you sign it. Because, I mean, she was a literal child, I do believe, and she just said, yeah, contract's cool, sign. And then that's how the music industry gets you a lot of the time.
Well, maybe it's kind, then, that she didn't talk about Toby Keith later on in her career, if this was the case.
What's your impression of Taylor Swift, Scott? Just as a person, as a human being, just, and it can be based on anything. But do you have just like an overall impression of her?
I've said this before, so this is no secret. I have no Taylor Swift items at home. I don't listen to Taylor Swift. I don't really understand it. But I think if we're going to sit here, much like with the Super Bowl, much like I said with the Time Magazine Person of the Year, and act like she does not have an impact, and I don't know why it is, but she does. And if people keep denying this, they are going to keep stumbling in life. And whatever it is that she has, no, I don't know what it is, but she's got something.
Do you ever listen to her music?
I've heard it.
But you don't, like, voluntarily, like, search for it on YouTube?
Can't say I have, no.
No?
No. No.
That's all Matt, right?
No,
that's Matt.
I would never go out of my way to listen to Taylor Swift.
I like her music. I do.
But how many other countries? Like, I mean, because we want to talk a little bit about Biden here, so we're not considered liberal. But the point is why is it that what other country artists didn't give their condolences? Because I'm sure she's not the only one. But we don't care because she's the biggest one. And isn't that what really this all comes down to?
Well, and she was directly, her career was directly boosted by the relationship that she had with them.
And maybe directly hurt.
That's what makes it different.
We'll have to do our homework on to see if all her stuff was stolen by that company.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that. So.
Well, I appreciate your opinions, though, because I think it launched a very interesting subject.
All right, and you have to answer my question. You're just going to try to kick this can down the road so people forget about it. But I want to know about your love interest.
What was the question again? I don't remember exactly
out
the question.
Out of anybody you have interviewed,
okay,
in your long and illustrious career, if you had to have, or had the opportunity to have, I'm not going to say somebody's, like, you know, strong.
How do you know I haven't?
It. No, if you had the opportunity to have a romantic affair with any of them during their prime, whenever you want them, if you want them at 80 years old or you want them at, you know, 20 years old, of the people you have interviewed, who would it be and why?
This is a star? It has to be a star?
Anybody you've interviewed.
Oh, and he could be a normal person.
Yeah, so if you want, you know,
Hallmark movie,
a certain young treasure in her prime, then by God,
hey!
Do that.
Hey, no.
He's in love with Hallmark movies.
Ashley Williams. Ashley Williams from the Hallmark movies, and she's fine right now as far as I'm concerned.
That's who it would be?
Yeah, off the top of my head, if it changes between now and tonight, because I don't think there's anybody locally who's ever been in here who I thought was anything all that great. And so, yeah, it would have to be a slob. I'll take her.
Why?
Why?
Is it strictly carnal, or is there...
No, there's no carnal nature. No. It's because she's a lovely girl.
And like her personality, you're saying.
Her personality is wonderful. And at those Christmas movies, she's fantastic. And I think... One time I did interview Julie Newmar, though, and she did purr. So, you know, if she was a little younger, maybe. Catwoman.
Did you ever interview Phyllis Diller?
Oh, many times I interviewed Phyllis Diller.
There you go.
Yeah, well, we all know what Phyllis looked like when she was younger, so there you go. Thank you.
All right.
Biden. Yeah. Hey, we're in the 13th hour. Go ahead. Quick wrap. I didn't knock that down the can, but go ahead, Biden.
I don't even know where I'm supposed to start on Biden.
Biden memory, special report.
The special report only documented what we already knew.
Bet.
He's losing it.
Cut and dry. Okay, Matt.
Did they do any kind of, like, actual test to determine his mental fortitude, or did they just say, you know, we just think he forgot because he's got poor memory?
Yeah, they said a very nice man who's having some memory issues.
Which came out in the interviewing process.
In the interviewing process.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're investigating something that a man's done, I mean, you're going to see things that are going to raise flags about a person's, you know, mental acuity.
Yes. So I guess the question I wanted to get to today, and I'm going to try to do it very fast here, is should everybody running for president over the age of 40 be given a mental stability test?
Well, I mean, no. isn't the age to run for president 35?
But here's my point. Don't we elect these people?
Well, I think if we're gonna start adding mental fortitude tests, I think it should just be straight up, you know, 35. As soon as you're able, you should. If you sign up, you got to take the fortitude test.
How do we know? Because see, it becomes a slam, and I've never heard this slam on anybody, even Reagan, who they said this of. It wasn't used as a slam. So what I'm confused.
Biden's got a fortitude test that you could take.
But no, not for president. But I'll tell you what, Biden's got a great opportunity here because he's one of the most memorable moment almost in any presidential debate, and it turned around a presidential election, was Reagan, because he was the oldest president running at the time, and they were doing this to him, and they were saying he's old and forgetful and takes naps and can't do the job. And he was in a debate with Walter Mondale, the Democrat, and the moderator on television said to him, asked him something about his memory, because it was a big issue about the thing. And Ronald Reagan said, I will not make age or mental competency an issue in this election. I will not exploit for political purposes my opponent's youth and inexperience. Was a great line.
There you go.
And that's all people remember from those debates. They don't remember Ronald Reagan forgetting things and saying the wrong thing. They remember that moment. And Biden, it's building, building, building. And if he can come up with a zinger in a debate like that, it'll put him in.
If somebody comes up with a zinger, they can write it on a cue card.
Did you say put it on a cue card?
So, Lord.
I didn't want that one to drip on by on your birthday. Holy mackerel.
So Ronald Reagan, Ronald Reagan had said that... What was the line? I liked it, but it was good.
Yeah, the age about Ronald Reagan and forgetfulness, and they said Ronald Reagan... He wasn't going to make age an issue, essentially, in that campaign. He wasn't going to exploit his opponent's youth and inexperience.
There you go.
He went the opposite direction.
That's good.
And even Mondale, who was running against him, laughed.
That was
the end of that election.
Yep.
Yeah. So there you go. So get Biden a cue card and it'll all be fine.
And hope he can read it right.
Aye, aye, aye. By the way, we didn't even get to this, but here's just something to think about for the next week. I heard, have you heard this? That they believe that when Trump takes, and I hate to say it, it's not because of trying to be accurate, it is because of accurate, not because of, I need cue cards. It's not because of trying to be balanced, but did you you hear that they now believe, because of the ruling of the court, that Trump is not immune, that they believe when he takes the nomination for the Republican Party that he will be a convicted felon, that that trial will be over by then, that it will start in May and be over by the beginning of July?
No, I did not hear that.
I heard that. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
There's another first that could be coming down the pike, and then Biden will need the cue cards to point it out during the ads,
that's
apparently.
Right.
So that's how you become a balance station. Study is work coming up next at Friday Night Live, 8 to 10 tonight. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Voice, Ted Williams.
Charlie, do you know because of you, more Marian residents know that flipping the bird was invented in 320 BC than in any other county in America?
Yes, but I didn't tell you the rest of the story.
What's that?
At 320 BC, in 1 minute, the fat lip was invented.
Don't miss it.
Hello. If you listen and enjoy A Voice of a People with Linda Sim,